set away. There's freedom though you've captured me. I've got joy instead of mourning.
Say that again.
There's beauty in my brokenness. I got true love instead of pain. There's freedom though you've captured me. I got joy instead of mourning.
You give
me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. You give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. There's beauty in my brokenness. I got true love instead of pain. There's freedom though you've captured me. I got joy instead of mourning. There's beauty in my brokenness. I got true love instead of pain. There's freedom though you've captured me. I got joy instead of mourning. You give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. You give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. You give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. You give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul.
Never been so free.
Never been so free, caught in your love for me. Never been more secure, knowing your heart, Lord. Never been so free, caught in your love for me. Never been more secure, knowing your heart, Lord. Never been so free, caught in your love for me. Never been more secure, knowing your heart, Lord. Never been so free, caught in your love for me. Never been more secure, knowing your heart, Lord. Never been so free, caught in your love for me. Never been more secure, knowing your heart, Lord. Never been so free, caught in your love for me. Never been more secure, knowing your heart, Lord. Your heart, Lord.
Never been so free.
Oh, never been so free, caught in your love for me. Never been more secure, knowing your heart, Lord. Never been so free, caught in your love for me. Never been more secure, knowing that you give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. Oh, you give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, because you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Father, it's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. Who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. My love is so undeniable. I can hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, 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 as you call me, deeper still. Still as you call me, deep. deeper still into love, love, love as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're whose I am. Oh, it's who I am. You're whose 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 I am. You're a good, good Father.
Declare who he is, we're releasing into the atmosphere the characters of God to move. So when we declare you're a good, good father and I'm loved by you, we're literally making a room around us, an atmosphere around us that says, I'm going to encounter you, God, as my father, and I'm going to live as I'm your son, and I'm going to live that way because I'm loved by you. So let's sing that chorus one more time. And let's just release that into this atmosphere here today. And let's begin to foster that in our lives and in a daily approach. Can we do that?
You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. And when you walk into the room, every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. We worship you.
Let's go back to when you walk into the room.
When you walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. When you walk into the room, every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. Worship you.
We love.
We love you, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We all this is for you, Jesus. Jesus. And when you walk into the room, oh, sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation ceases to exist. And when you walk into the room, the dead begin to rise, 'cause there is resurrection life in all you do. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. We can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. We love you. And we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. We can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. There's so much power in your name. There's so much power in your name, the name of Jesus. There's so much power in your name. There's so much power in your name, the name of Jesus. So much power in your name. the name of Jesus. So much power in your name. So much power in your name. We love you and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you and we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. There's so much power in your name. There's so much power in your name. The name of Jesus. There's so much power in your name. There's so much power in your name. The name of Jesus. So much power in your name. There's so much power in your name. The name of Jesus. So much power in your name. So much power in your name. The name of Jesus. So much power in your name. So much power in your name. The name of Jesus. So much power in your name. So much power in your name. The name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus.
Just sing him your own song this morning.
Oh, in the name of Jesus. My chains are off. There is none beside you, God, who makes me free. My chains are off. inside you, God, who makes me clean, my chains are off. There is none beside you, God, who sets me free, my chains are off. But the name of Jesus, there's so much power in your name. So much power in your name. The name of Jesus, there's so much power in your name. So much power in your name. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. You're more real than the ground I'm standing on. You're more real than the wind in my lungs.
Your thoughts.
Thoughts define me, you're inside me, you're my reality. Reality.
You're more real.
You're more real than the ground I'm standing on. You're more real than the wind in my lungs.
Your thoughts.
Your thoughts define me, you're inside me, you're my reality. Reality. Abba, I belong to you. Oh, Abba, I belong to you. Yes, Abba. closer than the skin on my bones. Closer than the song on my tongue.
Sing that again.
Closer than the skin on my bones.
Closer than.
You're closer than the song on my tongue.
Your thoughts.
Your thoughts define me, you're inside me, you're my reality. Your thoughts define me, you're inside me, you're my reality. Oh, Abba, I belong to you. Oh, Abba, I belong to you. Oh, Abba,
You know, there's a statement that we used to say. I think we were running around in cars and stuff, and especially if you like had something that belonged to your buddy, and you would say, "Possession is 9/10 of the law." Anyone ever heard that? Well, possession is everything to God, and we belong to Him. We are His. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it. Sometimes circumstances and situations deceive us and say that He's not around. He's not caring for us. He's not watching over us. He's not taking care of us. But family, that's a lie, because we belong to Him. As the song said earlier, He's a good, good Father. And He is our Abba Father. And Abba is the same words that you could say, Daddy, Daddy. So hard for me, and for the longest time I'd hear people say Daddy when they were praying to God, and I thought, oh, how disrespectful. I mean, I barely could even say Father. I had to say Jesus, and I could call out to Jesus anytime, but the Father had to heal my heart from some father issues. And if you have a hard time saying Daddy, Daddy to your Creator, your Maker, your the one who gave it all in His Son so that you and I could have this relationship with Him, then ask the Lord to heal your heart. If you have a hard time saying, Abba, I belong to You, ask the Lord to heal your heart. Because if there's a separation, it's not Him. If there's a reason that you feel you can't approach Him, it's not Him. It is not Him. He is waiting there with open arms. We have a picture in the Bible in Luke that says there was a prodigal who left his family, and he took his inheritance and he squandered it, and he lived riotlessly. I don't know exactly everything that was involved in that, but I can only imagine. To the place where he was feeding pigs and thought that there was no other job for him because he was out of money, all his friends were gone. And he thought to himself, you know what, I'm going to go back to my father's house. At least I could live like a servant. At least I could have a place to stay. At least I'll probably have some decent food. And so he was heading back to home, and he wasn't even at home. And the father came running. The father came running. Wasn't the prodigal running. He's just walking back home. The father came running and embraced him and kissed him. And who knows what he smelled like. Who knows what was going on. But that display right there was the Father's heart. That's our Daddy. So there's no reason that you should be separated from Him in Him. It's us. So today, I want us to sing one more time this song, because it is Father's Day. And I know we can move on with the service, but I want us to all connect with Abba. I want us all connect with our Daddy, our Heavenly Father, in a way that will cause us to be refreshed, cause us to maybe have some weight taken off of us, physically and maybe spiritually and emotionally. Because He is. Why don't you just sing that from there, Glenn, and I'll just...
Abba,
put your hand on your heart.
I belong to You.
A way of showing that you're connecting.
Yes, Abba, I belong to You.
Yes, feel that right in your heart, right now.
And Abba,
children, where You're beloved, Lord, that there's nothing separating us from Your love. There's nothing separating us from Your presence. Lord, the veil has been torn. Lord, the entryway is open, Lord. And right now, by faith, Lord, we step into that supernatural place, Lord, where You are in our hearts. And we say, Father, thank You for loving us. Thank You for giving us Jesus. Thank you for restoring us to a place of intimacy and oneness with you, Lord. And we receive that today by faith right now, Lord, into our hearts, into our lives, Lord. The reality that we're one with you, the reality that you're our daddy, Lord, that we can sit on your lap anytime, Lord, that we can come to you, Lord, and you can wipe our tears, Lord. You can mend our wounds, Lord. You can change, Lord, our downcast attitude, Lord, into a place of joy, Lord, because in your presence is fullness of joy. We just receive this reality into our hearts today, that we belong to you, that we're yours. I'm my beloved's and he is mine. Lord, your banner over us is love. Your banner over us, your label over us, God. Your sign, your signet over us, Lord, is love, love, love. And we receive that right now. We receive that right now by faith into our hearts. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, team. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, amen.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, give it up for the team. Praise the Lord. Thank you for it. Well, Lord, we just thank you that you're here right now, Lord, and you're going to cause every heart to be drawn to you, Lord, during the message, when the kids go down. God, I pray that we would not leave this atmosphere, Lord, that we would not shift, Lord, but we would maintain this atmosphere right now that's here, Lord. We just honor you. Would the children come on up, please? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. You guys have a good class in store for you. Father, we just bless your children right now, Lord. We thank you, God, that you're working in their lives, Lord, for your good pleasure. Lord, we just release your supernatural empowerment, wisdom, knowledge, revelation of who you are, Lord. But most of all, Lord, we release your love to be active and working in their lives. We just thank you, Lord, for each and every one of them, God. We pray you just bless this day. And Lord, as they're out of school now and enjoying the summer, Lord, let them be a light, Lord, shining in darkness about their friends, Lord, and whatever activities they're doing. We just bless them now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't think we have any major announcements today, do we? Don't think so. What? Is there something? Oh. Hey, brother, bless you. Good to see you. Oh, do we have a new baby in the house? Oh, we do. Okay, so we do have a major announcement. So we have Charisma is in the house, right? Born on, was it Wednesday? My goodness. And not everybody knows, but because of some circumstances, Jason delivered Charisma. Yeah, praise the Lord. Is she asleep or can you? Okay, she's asleep. Oh, you want to? Okay, yeah, let's see her. Charisma means gift, and so this baby's going to be a gift to them and a gift to... Oh, come on up, yeah. Oh, she's cooing. Oh, my goodness. There we go. Look at that. And just so everybody knows, it's a charisma with an X, right? That's the Greek word, right? Yep. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Congratulations, guys. Love you. Okay, so without further ado, Pastor Gay has a message that is going to, I think, fill us up, okay? Oh, pulpit down.
So, gentlemen, not that you need to be made sweeter, but for Father's Day, there's a treat up here for you, and you can come get it after service. And, yeah. But we want to say thank you. I've been really moved this morning about Father's Day. It was 3 years ago that my dad was very, very near death. And just every year, it just brings back to me how blessed I am that I have him for another Father's Day. And so I get real emotional about it. Like this morning, I was crying, and I was on the phone with my daughter back east and was sharing with her. Stepdad brought our two grandkids out to be with their real dad for the summer. They're 8 years old, fraternal twins, Isaiah and Isabella. You'll see them this summer sometime. And just watching stepdad with Isabella, Isabella was crying. I mean, brokenhearted crying because he was leaving and she wasn't going to see him for 8 weeks. And the way he was just comforting her and loving on her, it just absolutely overwhelmed me. And so I was sharing with my daughter this morning, and then I started crying all over again. I had my makeup on for church. I'm like, I don't want to cry. I'm going to cry my makeup off. But I just, Father's Day is just beginning. I mean, as a older lady, not old, but older, it's starting to mean more and more to me, and I'm not even a dad. So anyway, so I'm very thankful for Father's Day because what it represents, not just on earth, but our Father in heaven and how he loves us and unconditionally loves us. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm not going to be talking about Father's Day, though. So there you had your spiel, and happy Father's Day to all our men, and help yourself to a treat afterwards. But I am going to talk to you about something that the Lord gave me this week, and I had no idea where it was going, and I still don't have any idea where it's going. So we're all going to go together where we don't know where we're going. But there was an old, very old jingle, and this will date you if you remember this jingle, and it was from Burger King. And it was, I'm going to try and sing it. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, special orders don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us serve it your way. Have it your way. Does anybody remember that? Just raise your hand and help me feel like I have company. Thank you very much. So dating. And so the Lord just put that little have it your way in my brain. And I got to thinking about how he does let us have it our way. How his plan is laid out, but he does give us choice. He does give us free will. So I'm going to ask for a little bit of help this morning to kind of get us going. But first, what I want to do, hold on, is I'm going to have you guys turn to the scripture base that we're going to be going with. And that scripture is Ephesians 5. And we're going to probably start around verse 7 or so, okay? So I'm going to ask, we need Baby Scout and her spoon, and I'm going to ask if Brother James would help me also with this illustrated sermon. So I'm going to ask Brother James to sit in this seat right here, Brother James, and Brother Glenn, you're going to pretend that you're a high chair for Baby Scout, and you're going to sit here. You're not really here. This is Brother James and Baby Scout, okay? This is all about them and not about you. So just blend in the background, would you? So we have food here for Baby Scout, and we have food for Brother Glenn. Let's see what we have for Baby Scout. Now, remember, this is an illustrated sermon to get my point across. Oh, for Baby Scout, we have a big old hamburger and a big old fry and a Dr. Pepper to wash it down. Now, mind you, Baby Scout hasn't even taken her first bite of food yet, but I got for her this lovely, lovely, lovely lunch. Isn't that good of me? And for Brother James, let's see what we have for you today. Oh, yummy. We have squash, we have bananas, and we have peaches. Well-rounded meal. Wouldn't you say? Now, Brother James, doesn't that look appetizing?
Delicious.
Just delicious. Now, I have to admit, when my babies were little, if it was a savory baby food, I could not help myself. I put a pinch of salt in it. I could not stand that my little baby was going to have something so disgustingly bland. I'm a terrible mother, I know. But what this, what really we're doing here is we're going to switch this out. And Brother James is going to get his burger. There's no onion on there. And that's normal. Wouldn't you say that's the way it's supposed to be, correct? It should be this way. Okay, thank you so much for your help, guys. So, the reason that I did this, and I picked Burger King because of the little jingle, McDonald's would not do. It had to be Burger King. So I went so far as to call them and say, because McDonald's doesn't turn their, this is a person that worked there, doesn't turn their grill over until 10:15. I had to be at church at 10 o'clock. I did not have time. So I called Burger King to make sure that they could make me a burger anytime I wanted it, and they could. And so this just helped me with my little talk today. So I was very happy about that. Okay, so the scripture that we're going to read is Hebrews 5. We're going to start. Oh, no, sorry, Ephesians 5. No, it is Hebrews 5. I'm so sorry. Hebrews 5. I said wrong. Hebrews 5. Okay. I'm going to start in verse 7, and we're going to read through to 6, probably 3, okay? All right, Hebrews 5, verse 7 says, let me back it up actually to 6. No, 5. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he also says in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since we have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. 6:1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, that's the babe stuff, right? Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, for the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, for resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment, and this we will do if God permits. Okay, so why am I reading all of that, and why do we? What does this all mean? Okay. I'm going to explain that as we go, but I want you to kind of get into your mind, how many of you guys have ever used or ever seen or ever heard of a growth chart? That's the chart that you put on your wall, certain feet up, and then your children stand in, and you mark above their head, and this is age such and such, and then as they grow, you're marking on the growth chart. Cutest growth chart I have ever seen is not really a growth chart. It's a wooden plaque, beautiful, gorgeous thingy that our niece had made for Stephen and Sarah when Ada was a baby, right? Was that from Sarah for Ada, that growth wood thing? For Ada. Okay. So it's gorgeous. Like, it's not like any other growth chart you've ever seen. Like, it's decorative. It's like you don't hide it in a closet or you don't do it on a door jamb. You stick it up. It's beautiful. Someone made it, and it was gorgeous. But how odd would it be if this year we measured the baby and then the next year we measured the baby and the baby was smaller? That would be scary because babies are supposed to grow. Toddlers are supposed to turn into older toddlers, which turn into people. And, but it would be really kind of weird to us if the toddler was shrunken and we would have need for such concern. We'd probably take them to the doctor and say, doctor, what's going on? Because it's not normal. It's not right to not grow. But how many of us, when God has placed things in our lives, words and encouragements and prophetic words into our lives, we hear it and our mind goes tilt. And instead of going with what God has said, we back all the way up to the beginning and we say, oh, let's do this all over again because apparently I missed a big roadside somewhere. Am I making sense? And what the scripture is saying, why are you relaying the foundation that you already know? Why are you going back over things that you should already have under your belt? The only ones that should need foundation laid is ones that have never had foundation to begin with. But foundation is what things are built on. So when it says forgetting the foundational things, the writer doesn't mean just forget about it. No. Foundation's in there. It's solid. It's stable. Now it's time to grow things up on that foundation. Am I making sense? So when the writer is saying to the Hebrew Christians, why am I having to go back to milk stuff? What is your problem? Why haven't you grown up yet? How many of you guys have seen a grown adult throw a bigger temper tantrum than any child? How many of y'all? Come on now. Let's see a show of hands. I've seen it. I have to admit, we are not big TV watchers, but we are so into Survivor. And I know that that's like, and we started it episode one, first season, and we are now at 26. And that's what we watch. It's already pre-taped. We can turn it on anytime we want to. But there's this one guy on this current one that we're watching. It's the favorites and the fans. It's the fans of people that love Survivor, and it's these favorites that they've called back. Well, when this guy was in there the first time, he was a Jesus lover, and he felt bad when he would do something wrong, and he would ask for forgiveness. But this time, something major has happened to his poor heart. He's like, he is a broken man, and he is, vile stuff is pouring out of his mouth, and attitude, and he actually went home, and we understand, because he Googled it, we understand that he was banned from the reunion. They didn't even let him come back for the reunion. They banned him from it. This is how bad it got. He stepped back into, he obliterated the foundation. Let's just get it plain and simple. The foundation is gone. He didn't do it. I believe the enemy of his soul did it. But what I'm trying to say is, we can't just live on a foundation. You got to have walls. You got to have a roof. You got to have things on there to show growth to everybody else. Why? You have to ask yourself this question. If you're always going back to foundational things, and if that's your Christian life, what are other people seeing? Are non-Christians wanting to come to you to learn how to come to Jesus? If you don't even look like you're with Jesus, why would they even think they could? It's heartbreaking, heartbreaking for anybody to work at a job for a year and then say, oh yeah, well, when I went to church on Sunday, you go to church? Like, they cannot believe it. That's heartbreaking to me. I mean, it breaks my spirit when I hear stuff like that, because that's not the way we should be. People should be drawn to us, and they're drawn to us for the foundation and the things that have been built on that foundation. So what are we building up, or what are we tearing down with our testimony, our life? What are people seeing? What are people hearing? What are people knowing? Okay, so I've gotten so far ahead of myself, I don't even know where I am. Spiritual life should result with spiritual growth. There is no neutral in our Christianity. There should never be. We can't just sit and idle. Because if we are not growing, then things atrophy. That means they shrink down. They go back. They go backwards. When I had a broken ankle, and I was in a cast up to my knee, and they took the whole cast off, this little leg looked like a little tiny leg, and this little leg was like muscular because it had to pull the whole thing around. It took a while for this atrophied muscle to get back up. But that should not be our Christian life. We should not be going backwards, and you can't be neutral, because either you're going backwards and you're atrophying, or you're going forwards and you're getting stronger and better in God. So Christian growth, it's possible to have slow growth. There are people, has any of you guys seen, I can't remember what the game is, but there's a game that you can play, and when you get your turn and you do whatever you do to move on, if you hit it just right, there's a fast track, and then if you hit it wrong or not so right, it's a slow track, but you still go toward the end. Has any of you guys seen that game? I can't even remember what it is. But there, have any of you known Christians that are on the fast track? Like, it's like crazy how much they've grown, and it's like, whoa. I mean, when you think about it, they've only been a Christian for such and such a time, but the growth that they've shown, Pastor Josh was like that. He was on the fast track. Like, nothing could hold him back, and it was like, boom, like you, if you didn't know he was coming and you heard him go by, you wouldn't know where he went because he was going so fast. Because he was so hungry for the things of God. And he wasn't drinking just milk. That's what this scripture is talking about, milk versus solid food. He was not on milk. When my kids were little, okay, I'm gonna be very vulnerable. I gave my children Boffee, B-O-F-F-E-E, because they had their bottle and mama had her coffee, foo-foo coffee, lots of cream, lots of sugar. So when they would wake up in the morning, I would warm their little bottles, and then I would take a tablespoon or two, and I would put it in their bottle, so they had their Boffee and mommy had their coffee, and we would just sit and have it together. My kids, and all of my kids to this day, love coffee. Every single one of them drink coffee all the time. They had Boffee. But if that's all they had, they wouldn't grow very well when they got a little bit older. I didn't give it to them when they were 3 and 4 months. I'm talking about, 12 months or so, they caught their Boffee with mama. So, but what I'm meaning by that is that because my kids had Boffee, they all loved milk. So when they were toddlers, 2, 3, 4 years old, and I would set them down and I would set them with a plate of really nutritious, good food, and I would give them their cup of milk with that food, they would go for the milk first, drink it, drain it down because they loved it so much, and then pick at the nutritious stuff that I put on the plate, because that milk provided for them a fullness, but it was a fake full because it only stayed there for just a little bit. The deep stuff, the good stuff, the nutritious stuff that was on their plate, they didn't eat, so they ran out of energy really quickly. That's the word of God for us. That is our Christian walk for us. If we just drink the things and take in the things that are palatable to us, good to us, we will never take in the other stuff. And that's what the Lord is saying. Now, just go with me here for just a minute. I get where we've been the last couple of years and how hard it's been for some of us to understand what's going down, what God's doing in this local body, because it's changing. And it's good that we're changing, because God is never the same. He is the same yesterday, today, forever. But he wants to get our attention in different ways. And we're not going to be a cookie cutter church like the church that's down the road. We're just not going to be that way. We're going to be who God's called us to be. So I get that some of the things that's been presented has been hard, because it's been challenging, because it's been the meat of the word. And some of us have said, ooh, don't like that kind of meat. But what we've chosen to do instead of look at that meat and study that meat and try and chew that meat and really get into that meat, we've stepped back to where we're just like, oh, this milk is so good. And I know it. I know it. I'm familiar with it. No, you know what I mean? That kind of no. It's comfortable for me. This is not comfortable, but this is comfortable. But I'm going to say what God has put us into in this last couple years, it's been meat. It's been scripture. It's been dug out, ferreted out by Holy Spirit and given. It is good. And if it isn't good, The only way you're going to know that is if you get in there and ferret it out for yourself. Because every one of us that teaches Bible studies or preaches or whatever, we're open to hear if you don't think that it's right. Not one of us believes that what we have to say could not possibly be wrong or not completely there. So if you find that, I just don't agree with that, figure it out. Come back. Say, hey, you know, that thing that you talked about last week, no, I don't agree with that. I'm open. Are you open for that? All of us are open for that. Is that not comfortable for any? I mean, you know what, you guys? We're family. And if family can't tell each other what's going on, then we have a little bit of a problem. You know what I'm saying? So in that, I get the last 2 years with us doing the things that we're doing and going a little bit deeper and offering deeper classes and stuff. I know that for some of you, you're going, halt, stop. We do that with our dog. When she goes outside and she goes too far, he'll make this funny noise. And man, she just stops in her track like that. And that's what we're doing as Christians. We're stopping in our tracks because this is like, you know, this is getting a little bit uncomfortable because I've not traveled on that piece of future right there. I've not traveled that, so that's a little bit hard for me. But you know, he's a good, good father. And not just to me. And not just to Pastor Mike. He's a good, good father to each one of us. If we ask God, do you want my footsteps to go there? He's going to tell you. He talks to you just like he talks to anybody else. He loves you. His plan for you is a yes and an amen. So instead of having the tilt happening, instead of having this meat that's presented to you may not be something that you like, just ask God, you know, God, help me through this bit right here. Lead me, guide me, give me wisdom because he will give it abundantly, abundantly. Instead of sitting back, and you may not be saying one word to anybody else. You may not be saying, boy, that was a way out, you know, sermon. What was that all about? You may not be saying it to anybody else, but are you saying it to you? What is going on? If you're even doing that, you owe it to yourself to get into the Word and ask for wisdom to go over what just was presented and to see if it's good and to see if it's right and to see if it's God. Because people can use scripture out of context to make anything sound good. But that's our job as people of God, to go in there and find out if that's true or not. I mean, he stands accountable for words that are spoken, but I'm just saying that, you know what I mean? We're accountable for it applying to our lives. Okay, so So the first point was, it's possible to be a Christian, but to be slow in growth. It's number two is Christian growth means moving into a deeper level of understanding. And that's what I'm talking about is when it's presented to you, go into that deeper level of understanding, asking God to help you. Number three, Christian growth requires laying a foundation of doctrine and then building on it, which I kind of already went over. In 6:1, it says the author tells the readers the elementary teachings of Christ is good and leave it there, but now press on to maturity. Are you pressing on? Are you pushing through that desire for having a drink of milk? And are you pushing through to getting that steak and baked potato and all that good stuff? Are you pushing through that to there? Is that your goal? Some of us may not have a goal at all. Some of us may come only to do a check mark beside this week and say, cha-ching, I went to church this week. I'm a good girl. I'm a good boy. But God is our Father, and he has so much more than that for us. It's that building foundation so that others look at what you've got going on over there, and then they want to have what you've got because their life is just in ruins. Number four, Christian growth does not happen automatically. It takes deliberate effort along with God's enabling. It says in 5:14, practice. It doesn't mean we're going to get it right away. How many of you have ever seen a part-time athlete? Part-time. That means one that does their athletic thing, and then they may take off a week or two, and then they do their athletic thing again. And they all get blue ribbons and big anybody that's ever been an athlete daily. They train themselves daily. They're in training for hours every day. They purpose within themselves to practice because they want to win. That's what it says to us in 15:14 or 5:14. Practice this thing called Christianity, because it's not going to come naturally. It doesn't come naturally. It doesn't, in the human, it doesn't come for us. It's the supernatural that brings it to us. And that's the practice part. So if anybody is having a hard time with the word spiritual, supernatural, or anything along that vein, you need to ask God to help you get more comfortable with it, because that's the truth. We are a supernatural being, only holding a little bit of space on earth for our time. We are spiritual beings in an earthly realm. That's the bottom line. That's what the word says. So God help us to make, you know, to make that part of who we really are. We don't have to be this guy on Survivor that bad things happen and he went way down below the foundation. Like he's not like anything he ever was before that we saw, you know. I mean, he just obliterated everything that was Jesus. And now he's standing there as man, and it's not pretty. How many people look at our lives and say, that's not pretty? And nobody else can be responsible for you. So there's, you know, teenagers and there's young adults. Parents can't be responsible for you. This is your journey. This is your Christianity. God's called you. What are you doing with it? You know, what are you doing with it? Practice. Trained is an athletical term that Paul used in 1 Timothy 4:7, where he tells Timothy to discipline himself for the purpose of godliness. So that discipline thing, that means he's continually doing the right thing so that his muscles are disciplined for godliness, so that his whole natural being is disciplined for godliness. But that's an ongoing thing. It's not like, ding, there you go, Zeke, now you're good and you don't have to, you know, no more worrying about growing and stuff. You're just bing, 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 boom, you're done. That's not how it works at all. That's not how it works. That's not God. Because he has relationship in his heart. And if you, when you married Tara, if you became husband, which you did at that point, if you never did another thing, you'd still be her husband, but Tara wouldn't be very happy about that now, would she? No, because it's a continual thing that you have to work on as a husband to nurture and love your wife. It's the same thing. You ask Jesus into your heart, bing, you're a Christian. Now you don't have to do anything until you get to heaven. Wrong. Because he's all about relationship. He's all about being in your heart and calling you to goodness and greatness and longing for you. Do you long for him? Are you hungry for him? Not thirsty. I'm not going to even bring that word up, because we're talking meat and potatoes and all the good stuff that you big boys like to eat, especially, you know, that's what we're talking about. Okay, so in conclusion, spiritual growth is more difficult to measure than a child's physical growth, obviously, but that was a really good analogy. You can be sure that if you're not growing in your spiritual life, you probably are running on autopilot. And that autopilot has been familiar to me in my Christian life before. And I don't like that feeling. Because I'm drawing on my own strength at that point. And that's not what God had in mind. He doesn't want us to just kind of just go through. He prefers it be up and down. And though down is really hard, but that's, you know, fruit grows in the valley, guys. If you're in the valley, that's the best place for fruit to grow. So valley dwelling is not so bad, even though it appears to be in a way. It isn't, because fruit comes out of that, you know? Ultimately, God will not force you. He won't. He's a gentleman. He loves you too much to do that. He gave you free will in the garden. Hey, I wasn't in the garden. Yeah, you were. He had you on his heart and in his mind in the garden. Gave you free choice then, still gives you free choice today. And he says, I may not like it, but have it your way. A little jingle from Burger King, have it your way. His heart would be that you would choose him. His heart would be that you would choose the meat. His heart would be that you would grow more than just to the foundation level. His heart would be that you would be a towering, huge, humongous building that all could see. That would be his heart for you. How big is your building? Is it a shack? Is it a rancher? 3-bedroom, 2-bath? Is it a big farmhouse where all the grandkids have their own bedroom and you've got plenty of room? Is it a mansion? What are you building on? Sometimes, and I'm just going to say this and then I'm going to be done. Sometimes it takes demolition to build better. So if what you've built is not working, take it down to the foundation and start building again. Because then it can be built the way God wants it to be built. So demolition isn't such a bad thing. But don't rip up the foundation, because Jesus came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. He came to save us. He came to redeem us. He came to love us. And we don't need to redo that. We could never. Amen. Amen.
Food for thought. Pun intended. So again, what should we do with this? Well, we should go and look at these scriptures ourselves. We should ask God, how does this apply to me? Because here on a Sunday, you can't receive it all. I mean, you can't receive hardly anything. I mean, I preach a lot, and I don't remember my sermon. Sometimes I have to go back, oh, that's what I shared. I mean, things go out of our mind unless you make it something that you constantly revisit, that you're constantly feeding yourself with. So maybe it's not this sermon, but maybe something sparked. Holy Spirit enlightened you with something. Maybe put a finger on your heart or maybe encouraged you in a certain way. You should write that down or put it on your phone or something to remember and go back and check it out. Because there's probably a reason why he's doing that. He's saying, this is an area of your life we need to work on, or this is an area of your life that you need encouragement in, because you have something coming up in the future that you don't even know about, but I know about it, and if you encourage yourself in this area, it's not going to affect you as much. But you know what? We have a Father that wants to father us. We have a Lord and Savior who wants to walk right beside us, never leave us or forsake us, and we have the Spirit of truth residing in us. There should be no reason why any of us should be just children drinking milk or babies drinking milk. Now, if you put the blame on all your past teachers or what you used to know or how much you didn't do this or all the excuses, well, then you can probably get yourself in a corner that you say, well, I can't do anything. But the truth is, you can start today, day one, right now, this very moment, and walk out of here or purpose in your heart right at this moment that you're going to start letting Holy Spirit teach you and guide you and lead you into all truth. That's his job. And he's pleased to have that title, that he is the Spirit of Truth, that he is the very breath of truth. Breathe him in. Take him into yourself and live this out. I believe that's what Pastor Gay is trying to say. Live out who you truly are, who you're called to be. Because if we maintain, we won't truly be who we're called to be. So, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to hear this message. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would activate it in us, that you would make it alive in us, Lord, that we would receive the words, and, Lord, that we would let it bear fruit. Lord, if you have to take us to the valley to bear fruit of this in our lives, Lord, we give you